I'm checking Wayne Cleveland, the executive director for the Texas Grain Sorghum Producers. I played that song just for you. You got too much time on your hands from Styx.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think the one thing that I don't have, and I'm training myself to do this, Todd, is the only thing I worry about is time. And you know, I think in the end, that's would probably be the most important thing to everybody is time and how you manage it. And you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself all I need to worry about today is time, because really that's all you can kind of have anything to do with in your life. You know, and it's working pretty good, because I usually wake up and, you know, I'm worried about my job and money and family and safety, and you know, have a plan for all those. But time's one variable, and you know, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's probably been about as busy as I've been in my life, which includes raising kids and show cattle and having farm and ranch, and you know, spent some time with my mom last weekend, took her to a wedding, which is always an adventure. Taking your elderly parent somewhere. I'm probably not geared out for that, but you know, time's important, and have a friend that's had a child that passed away, and burying him today, and you know, those things are all good perspective. And I think farmers have an incredible good way of putting time into perspective, you know, because you get to see it, you know, and you get to see life and death on the farm and a ranch, and you know, through the animals, and not too much time on my hands. I get the same 24 hours that everybody else gets, and what you do with it's important, but been a good couple of weeks.
So you may have already heard this, I'm not sure, but farm broadcaster Jim Stewart in Lubbock passed away yesterday at the age of 85. I used to meet him with different meetings all over the place, and he was a hoot to be around.
Yeah, man, I didn't know that. I was good. Everybody was good friends with Jim. I mean, KFYO there in Lubbock, and my early life, my internship I had there in college. I won't say where it was, but we'd sneak out of there on Friday afternoons and go to Rosie's back door there on Q, go over and have a few beer and some fajitas, and Jim Stewart was always right in the middle of it, man, with that Fico-shaped hat on, and he was an institution, man. He had gave one of my friends a job, an internship there, and Jim was just a good guy. But you know, he loved agriculture, man. I think he was a policeman before he was a farm broadcaster. I don't know that he had a lot of farm ranch in him, but
yeah, he used to go to the radio station and talk about police stuff, and then they weaseled him into this business.
Yeah, and he was good, you know. He had kind of a good, quick, sharp voice, and man, he was an anxious guy, you know. He was always kind of rocking and moving, but he was such a good guy, such a throwback, you know. You guys are like that there at your stations, you know. It's just a throwback, and people enjoy that. And Jim was always like that, and he always knew who you were, you know. And there are so many people in my life that are like, they reintroduce themselves to me, which I'm okay with that, you know. But at some point, you know, Jim was not like that. And Jim knew everybody, and he knew everything, and he helped people, and he got things done. And I think Wade, his son, still has a radio program there in Lubbock. I don't think it's ag-based, but, you know, we went through that period where just having an ag-based program was just taboo. It's like, man, who wants to do this? And you know, you guys have made it through the fog, man. Good on you, because it, you know, ag's still very important to our economy, and specifically the High Plains economy. But yeah, sad to hear that Jim passed away.
And so is AM radio. So the heck with FM.
Yeah, I was last week. I went to the program at the Corn Growers put on there in Sherman about fertilizer, and with the Federal Trade Commission, they did a really good job of getting that assimilated good message. And I listened to WBAP 820 when I'm in the pickup, because I'm just kind of an AM guy, kind of like that scratchy, edgy, you know, and I like Hal J and all the stuff they do. They're still kind of local. Turned it on, heard D-Von on there, and at 6:15 a.m, I drove up there and thought, man, how cool that they'll still put some of this stuff on. And D, you know, is well-spoken. Farmer from Dumas did a really wonderful job of laying out, you know, that basically they're killing our growers with fertilizer costs. We're also getting killed with diesel costs and everything else. So, you know, getting that out and getting it out on AM is really important. I mean, it's still just got a cool country feel to it, but I'm a WBAP guy and been listening to them since high school. And then we got those AM radios, those FM radios, Todd, that we had to install in our trucks. And we picked up the Eagle 93.7 in Dallas. And man, we thought we were something else when we got to listen to that. And they had all those songs you're playing on it. So radio has been a pretty big, cool part of my life, man. And I appreciate what you guys are doing there.
Yeah, BAP 50,000 watts at 820 clear channel.
Is that right? I kind of thought it was. There's also one down around El Paso or in Mexico across the border that basically there were no rules, and I think it was like literally like a large microwave shooting across the country.
There's a million watts when Wolfman Jack was there.
That's funny, man. I don't know, like radio, I don't know what a million watts is, but it sounds like too much.
The most you can have on AM is 50,000, and the most on FM is 100,000, and the 50,000 water will blow away the FM, so.
That's pretty funny. I'm sure it was disruptive and went away, but man, what a deal, you know, creative people out there. And I was actually over at yesterday I did a podcast. I'm not a podcast guy. I don't get my information that way. And I honestly don't really have an hour or two to cut loose and just listen to somebody else, you know, talk about something that's subjective and try to stay in the trade journals and, you know, particular newsletters because the amount of information we get today. But ended up doing one with the risk manager, kind of talking about mitigating risk and you know, the kind of state of where we are at sorghum, honestly, now. And he wanted to focus in on, you know, is sorghum a legitimate crop now? Is it something that, you know, has a future on the high plains? And I think of all the commodities, and I get paid by these guys every week, and I cash every paycheck, that sorghum probably has a really good future in front of it. We were, of course, you know, a couple of weeks ago this time I was in China and we dropped over into Mongolia and visiting with them, and some of the take home that I wanted to convey to growers was I know our cost of production is very high, but what you don't think about is the cost of production in other countries, and in particular China, which is our big market, and we want to do everything we can to maintain the Chinese market. Huge, by up to 85% of our grain. You know, their cost of production in China is just basically off the rails. Some of their cash prices on land rent is, you know, they can pay up to $700 an acre. And this is for a farmer that has, you know, maybe 2 hectares, which would be 4 or 5 acres of land. So you're paying out the nose for something that you know is not going to cash flow. And then their other costs are unbelievable as well. Their fuel costs, their equipment costs. I never really thought about that in China. And they're losing land, you know, and in the United States, we're losing so much land every year. It's sad. And I think since 2005, we've lost 3.7 million farm acres. To urban sprawl and folks that buy it and just turn it into a hunting lease, or, you know, just squat on it, want to watch the sun come up. And that's all okay. And, you know, there's a program out there, CRP. We've got 25 million acres and pretty marginal land and a soil bank, you know, that just kind of holding the earth together there at the seams. But all in all, for agriculture here, you know, we have a pretty good amount of land, but we're losing it quickly. And the developers are indifferent to what the land is. Some of the best land in the world there by Dallas, Texas, is now covered in houses, and that was land that was not irrigated. There was high production area. You could grow anything there, and now it's all houses, and they're probably one of the highest per capita uses of water in the world. So you're taking this land, and you're not only taking it out of agriculture, but you're also being very destructive to the ecosystem around it. That is the water under it and the air above it, because you're polluting the air and you're using the water. And the modern media wants to focus on the farmer using water. And it's like, no, you don't want to do that. We've got our stuff together. We know what we're doing. But, you know, just so many variables now, and everything seems stacked against the farmer. You know, ag appropriations bills up in the House in D.C., losing McGovern Dole, you know, a big deal for food aid, but it is a big deal for grain sorghum. So everything seems to be against us, from legislative to input cost to markets. You know, we can get the China deal kind of straightened out with the government, which we thought, you know, when President Trump went over there a couple of weeks ago, we would have an announcement. I think we've never been further from what we need to know about the China market. So we keep plugging. A little out of time here, Todd, but, you know, one of the big things that happened last week is the Chinese bought 3 boatloads of sorghum. We were with the guy that bought it when we were there. Have to, you know, tell myself that we had something to do with that, talking about supply and demand and that the sorghum's leaving the market. And he said, where's it going? Where's it going? So then the ethanol. And he said, I thought those guys were using corn. And just the fact that we conveyed that ethanol was eating grain sorghum on the high plains, I think emotionally had him buy 3 boats of sorghum, which is an incredible amount of sorghum to go out of here in the coast at raising basis 40 cents. So, you know, I think the take home now with all the costs that farmers go and everything they're up against is what you're doing relative, and are you using your time wisely? So, good week, getting a lot of things done. Hopefully we see some break on China and some break in these prices. And thank God it's raining on the high plains, Todd.
Hey, you hear that country music there for a second?
I thought that was just my brain skipping or something.
The dumb computer, I stopped it, and then I potted up the control board, and the stupid thing was still playing.
No, sometimes I hear things, Todd, and it sounded a lot like the things I hear, so it's just like, oh, well.
I'm not a big fan of the computer age. I like the old records and tapes and reel-to-reels stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't? That stuff, old AM radio, man. I end up where I started, and just, man, I love AM radio.
So we enjoy the partnership with you guys. It's always fun to reflect everything, and you need more of that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir, we do. It's a wonderful culture that we live in, and you know, radio's a part of it, and newspapers, and, you know, still meeting at the coffee shop, spend a couple of days at the ranch, moving some cows around, getting things cleaned up, and, man, what a wonderful world to get to be a part of. And agriculture, it's a wonderful culture, and I'm very fortunate that I get to live in it.
Hey, give out your contact, Wayne. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. I'll actually be here all day in the office. My cell phone number is 254-541-5375. Thanks, Todd, and you'll have a great weekend.